Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't sit yet. Grab your Bible and make a confession of faith with me. Say this with me. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Jesus, you're my Lord. I believe the Word of God. I believe what it says to me. I accept what it has to offer. You may be seated in His presence. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm past excited to be with you this morning. Pastor used the word friend, but we transitioned from that word years ago to he's my brother. He's my brother, and Sister Francine is my sister, and I'm Uncle Pawpaw to the children. God is good. I have a long message in a short time, so we're going to get right into it this morning. Bring you greetings from my wife of 37 years. So as you, amen. And the Lord has been good to us in many, many ways. I'm going to be ministering today around the theme of 37 years of obedience and faithfulness. 37 years of obedience and faithfulness. I want you to say those two words out loud with me. Obedience and faithfulness. Those are the keys for you. The keys for getting ahead in life. The keys for making an abundant life is to be obedient. To be obedient. One of the most difficult things when I was younger for me to do was to obey the law when there was no enforcement around. It's late night. There's nobody on the street. It's a stop sign or a stop light. Just go on through that. But I was practicing being disobedient for the rest of my life. There are things that happen in our life that we set patterns for. Obedience is a virtue. We were taught to obey our parents. My mother was beset with tuberculosis, and in those days they had to separate them from the population because they had no real cure, and so they took them out, put them into separate hospitals where they could attend them. So we were left with my grandmother, and my grandmother was an interesting little lady. She was very, very short. My grandmother, just to kind of give you a brief on her, my grandmother would get up on Sunday morning. We lived across the street from the church, so she'd walk over to early morning service. She'd come back and fix breakfast for us and go back for the service and then come back and get us ready to go to our church because she was going to a Baptist and we were going to Church of God in Christ. And then she'd come home in the afternoon, make sure that we had dinner, go to march with the Eastern Stars at 3 o'clock and shot our boyfriend at 6. And dared him to call the police. Celebrating cross-culture church is also a celebration of Dr. Woodrow and Lady Francine. We can't celebrate the church's anniversary without celebrating their presence with the church. And I've always been grateful to this ministry in the way you treated them, because a lot of churches do not have a revelation of how to handle their shepherds, how to treat their shepherds, how to be kind to their shepherds. And it is a tremendous honor to them that you have been a very giving and obedient and loving people. It's difficult pastoring. It's difficult to raise your family while you're pastoring because of the numbers of time that it takes away from the family time. I was raised in a family of seven that later became 10. My parents, both my father was a minister and my mother was a missionary. And so the talk in our house was all about God. We were taught at home. We didn't have the privilege of Sunday school or Christian school. My mother took the Bible literally and trained us all up. My determination was to be an elected official, to go to Washington, D.C. and represent our country. And I did marvelously in my student behavior and in my classes in political science, and I was ready to go to Washington when the Lord said, I want you to preach. First time in my life that I did not really be happy to hear from the Lord. The one reason that I used was the way they treated my father. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to preach in a minute, but I got to give you some background so that we can understand what we're celebrating. Sometimes we rush through to the celebration, we forget what we were celebrating. You got to understand that there's a lot that goes on pastorally that no one ever knows. The agony of the message. What is the message? What will I speak to God's people? So if you're serious about ministry, you don't come up with a message, you receive one. And that's been the hallmark of this ministry, that when he receives it, he just loses. I've been in their house, he just loses consciousness of everything until that lesson is finished. And it's only finished when you hear the first word out of his mouth that touches your ear. Don't patty cake, go ahead and bless the Lord. I was only giving you...
I'm sorry.
Nah, that was an angel, right? I was giving you the background on where I came from, so that you can see how stubbornness turns to such obedience that every day, in fact, lately, Pastor, this is what I've been calling it, I'm in a revelation blizzard. I've gone from disobedience to total communication with the one who lives in me. Now, how would it be to invite someone to your house and never talk to them? We're filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a communicator. He talks to us. He leads us. Any mistake I made was ignoring what he had told me before I made the mistake. And so you reach this point now, you're 37 years old. 37. You know, I said, let me look up the term 37. Let me look up that word. What does 37 mean? Well, it's a display of God's mercy and salvation for his people. Isn't that amazing? What are you saying? That God's mercy and grace has brought you to this point. But you're at the point now where he'll pour his mercy and pour. Salvation is the term we use when we got saved, but salvation is it's the area you come into. You're not just saved, you're now saved and safe. So salvation is not a one-time event. It's a life. It becomes our life. Ezekiel 37:26, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. Listen to me. Say that word. Covenant of peace. We are not just a peaceful people. We have a covenant of peace. We have an agreement. We have a commitment that cannot be broken without consequence. It's a covenant. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, it's amazing to me how people, we do a lot of weddings as pastors, and so I'm performing this one, and the young lady's very demonstrative, you know. You tell her, so repeat after me, I believe with my heart. I believe with my heart that this is forever. That this is forever. We have some beautiful mountains near the church where they married. They went up to the mountains for the, what do they call that? The honeymoon. They went to the mountains for the honeymoon. I got a call from her from the mountains. She said, Pastor, you got to get me out of this thing. I said, but you said it was forever. She said, yeah, but these few days seem like forever. Here's a key. Do not let consequences in life cause you to rename things. Do not get so caught up in a problem that you do not understand who you are. That's just one of the tests. It's a test. It's a test of your determination. I just laugh because we're celebrating 37 years in July, my wife and I, and she was the one that God used to jerk the slack out of me. And here's how she did it. One day we were sitting and talking, and she looked at me and she said, you know, when I was younger, I always dreamt about being married and always thought about how it would be. And just, you know, it was just, on, and she said, and look what I got. I said, now here, listen to what I said to her. I said, look, I'm going to change because I don't want to be anybody's look what I got. Can you imagine that? What's your husband's name? Look what I got. Marriage is a covenant. Church membership is a covenant. Friendship is a covenant. We do not walk as people who are loosely connected. Everything in our lives, we are tied. We're together. So that's what's happening. We're celebrating togetherness. We're celebrating a miracle in the earth because people quit all the time. There are just lessons that we need to learn about this connectedness. We need to learn how to be a community, how to be one, how to love, how to come to a place where we're overwhelmed each time we come together because there's a new experience. What worship in this place this morning? What worship? Worship is now an entertainment. Worship is now a group of professionals that do their thing while we just look. And the dare, the nerve to sing praise is what I do. The nerve to sing that when only in church I'm praising. We are in a covenant, and that covenant requires response. And the response that we get from him is to always stand in awe of him, not just when he's done something for us, but to always stand in awe, to always give him the glory. In fact, I've been studying, and I ran across a repeated phrase in my studies. It just kept repeating and repeating. So, okay, I need to follow this trail, see where it's going. This trail was, there are only two reasons that we exist, only two reasons that God populated this earth with us. One, to rule. To rule. The Adam was to rule. Secondly, to glorify God. To glorify God. Westminster Small Catechism says that man exists to glorify God and to worship him forever. That's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. See, people, we don't have a choice. Listen to me. We're not dealing with our emotions in worship. It may seem like it because we're so animated in other times, but it's not your emotions. You're transferred from the worship. That's why it's important for it to be authentic. You're transferred from the place of mediocrity, from the place of flesh, into the realm of the Spirit of God, and you're literally ushered to the throne where without seeing him, we worship him. We're in presence. We're in presence. School teacher was calling the roll one day. She said, Earl Johnson. I said, I'm here. She says, you're here, but are you present? I was a daydreamer. I'd get to the seat at school and then I'd go trips, just all around the world. But thank God, I'm focused now. Amen. Pastor Walker, I believe as I was studying last night, the Lord gave me the rest of Ezekiel 37 for this ministry. I believe he gave me a word for this ministry. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. Listen to me. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. I believe that's a word for this church. I believe that as you move forward, you're moving with the cloud. You're moving, listen to me, you're going from glory to glory. This ministry will be multiplied. This ministry will be a sanctuary. You know what a sanctuary is? Sanctuaries were created so if people got in trouble, they could go in for safety. This is a sanctuary. It's not a sanctuary because we call it a building. It's a sanctuary because many of us ran in here. And thank God there were right people on guard, so that we're not running in to be safe and then taken advantage of. You ought to give God praise for that. And there was, I love this about the sanctuary. I love the sanctuary, but then he comes back and says, a tabernacle. My tabernacle also will be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, my Lord, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome. It's like asking someone to marry you, and they says, I will be your wife, and you will be my husband. And then, how many? 37 or 38? 38 years later, you're still a husband and she's still a wife. You understand what I'm saying? God does not have to make a covenant with anybody. In fact, in talking about himself, he says, I am the Lord, I lie not. I don't lie. So why would God enter in a covenant, and covenant is a guarantee that people are going to keep their word. Why would he enter into covenant with people who don't keep their word? when he has never not kept his word? Selah? Now listen to me, listen to me. The two things you want to get out of your life quickly is indecisiveness and arrogance. Because covenant people rid of those things so they can remain in covenant. Those are the two things that most likely will come. Just this arrogance. It was like I was in my early years in pastoring. I was instructing this young man to do something, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, I'm just gonna have to be honest with you. He said, you know, I know you're right about what you're telling me, but I don't want to do it because you're telling me. Y'all know how to spell fool? See, I'm not calling him while I'm asking you, do you know how to spell it? Because as you can look up, his name may be in there. You understand what I'm saying? At my age, I take advice from people who know. I don't care how old they are. If it's information I need and it's accurate, I'm going to take it. And so we want to get rid of arrogance in our life. Arrogance will stop you in the middle of worship to take care of something that crossed your mind. You're in the very presence of God, and a bill that you got to pay turns you from worship to the pocketbook so that you could take care of this matter so you won't forget it. I would rather forget everything but be in his presence. I want to be there. I want to be there. Hey, let's do something just for a moment. Let's just right now, because he's there. Come on, just worship. Father, we come now. We're in your presence. This is not about us. These moments are not about us. It's not about who's speaking. It's you with us. You being with us. That's what we value. That's what we treasure. Thank you. Come on, use your own language. I'm going for that. Go ahead. Just use your own language. Get in the presence. Get in the presence. We are celebrating your faithfulness to this ministry. We're celebrating your covenant with this ministry, and we thank you. Come on, raise the volume right now and give him glory. Just raise the volume and give him glory. Raise the volume and give him glory. We magnify you. We give you the glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now just give him a shout of glory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Verse 28, the nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel. The city of Atlanta will know that God has sanctified cross culture. He said, and his sanctuary will be in their midst forevermore. Wherever you go, he's already been. Wherever you go, he's already there. My other point is God honors obedience and adherence to vision. God honors obedience and adherence to vision. One of the things that I've appreciated about the ministry of the Walkers is that you never hear them say, or at least I've never heard them say, I have this vision. It's always the Lord gave us what to do. The Lord instructed us to do this, to do that. You see, if you get a vision, you're responsible for maintaining it. But if God gives a vision, he's responsible. Are you listening to me? And I'm just going to take a minute to say, I think every household needs a vision. Every household needs a vision. We have a vision in our home that all of our children would serve the Lord and worship the Lord. We didn't say they had to preach. We just said they got to serve the Lord. You eat my food? The Lord gave us that food. Are you listening to me? No, we didn't force it. We didn't force it. You know, they had an opportunity to do little things that they shouldn't have been doing, but, you know, so did I. Today, both of my sons are pastors. And though it just really got to my wife when my daughter announced to her that she was going to Bible school, it really got to my wife. It really did something to her. It's the first time I've ever seen her just out of sorts. She's going to Bible school. Mom, I'm going to Bible school. Dad, I'm going to Bible school. Oh, bless God. In Australia. You get this? Well, I'm not talking around the corner. But mom's doing well. She's healing. We don't talk about it. He's asking how dad is doing. I said, we don't talk about it. He said, see, I'm trying to stay out of denial by denying. What am I saying? God will honor today if you open your mouth and say, today. Let me finish. I know. Today I am yours completely. I belong to you. Listen to me. I don't belong to problems. I don't belong to the job. I don't belong to these children that I've raised and they just raised in hell. I don't belong to them. I belong to you, and I'm going to enter your covenant of peace. Thank the 10 of you all who got it. But you hear what I'm saying? The walkers can stand before God and state this proclamation with confidence. This is what they can say. Father, myself and Francine and Cross Cultural Church have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. He can say that. He can stand and say, we've done everything you told us to do. You told us to do this and we did it. Listen, there are times God tells ministers to do things that don't make any sense to them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But if God said it and it's done, that's where the blessing is. Acts 26:19 is where you should just camp there. Put that in your notes and camp there. Camp in that. I've not been disobedient until the heavenly vision. People, what did God tell you to do when he saved you? What did he tell you to do? Who did he say you were? Go back and get the instructions. Don't just be an attendee. Don't just come to church. What did he tell you to do? And nothing is not on the list. What did God tell you to do? And nothing is not on the list. And I'm going to tell you what. This is why God can judge. This is why God can judge, because Romans chapter 1 says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. What does that mean? Whether you're in church or not, everybody knows there's a God. He says, because God has shown it unto him. He's put it in them. He put in every person
In fact, he said he's the light that lighteth every person that comes into the world. There's not one person born today that do not know who God is. Now, whether it was nurture or whatever, but everybody, there will not be anyone that's not with God's presence forever that did not know God was God. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair. It just wouldn't be fair, especially if God depended on the church to inform them. Because we move so far into entertainment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not cross culture. Not cross culture. That's why y'all got to make room, because people are getting tired of the games. So y'all going to have to move over a little bit. You're going to have to make room. If you got a favorite seat, you better forget it. Because these people that are coming off the streets, they don't know nothing about your seat. They don't know anything about how long you've been in that seat. You better be willing to give it up. Get on up. Wave at me if you understand what I'm saying. See, we cannot be proprietary and win the world. We can't do it. It's going to take our testimony. How many people are sitting on their testimony? I was healed of cancer. God healed me of prostate cancer. He healed me of prostate cancer. Y'all listening to me? Oh, that's a whole new story there. That's a whole new story. Because when the doctor told me, he said, we did all the tests, Mr. Johnson, and I think that you have, no, I don't think, sir, he said, you have prostate cancer. And I just stood there about 45 minutes. I just stood still. He said, Are you okay? And here's what I said to him. I said, sir, I have never heard my name and cancer in the same sentence. It's going to take me a moment here. Are you hearing me? It's going to take me a moment now. Listen, we're emotional creatures. That's why we train them with the word. Notice I shut up. Because if I opened my mouth, I would have put an obstruction in God's way for me to heal me, because I am acknowledging something I've never heard in me. Now, the Holy Ghost is in me. So now how do I connect the Holy Ghost to what else is there as an unwelcomed person? That was what I'm thinking. How do I get healing to that place? Woo! Guess what? As I went from that hotel, when I went from the hospital, doctor's office, God help me, went from the doctor's office to the house, before I got to the house, the Lord had spoken to me and said, do not dignify that report. Do not call it by its name. Call it Umagala Salawala. I never heard that before. It's better than I have cancer. So when people say, well, what did the doctor say? The doctor said that I have Umagala Salawala. They looked at me like, when you gonna die? Because that sounds like a real bad disease. I'm alive and well. Why? Because I followed instructions. I did what he told me to do. If you're having problems with finances, don't call it by its name. You're having trouble and being sick, don't call it by its name. Come on, somebody, glory to God. Stop calling stuff what it is. Call yourself healed. Call yourself whole. Call yourself victorious. Y'all better light this house up. Come on, give God glory. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Do not let a doctor's visit turn into a mortuary. He's practicing medicine. God don't have to practice healing. Glory to God. Glory to God. The walkers can stand before God and say with confidence, Father, my wife, my children, the church, we've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's in Acts 26, 19. We've not been disobedient. You told us to do this. We're doing it. And then Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3, and this will we do if God permit. And this will we do if God permit. See, here's what we need to be saying. God, give me a vision so I don't have to get me one. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to go out and read a lot of books so I can get a vision. No, I want it from you. Listen to me. Thomas Edison said this way, vision without execution is hallucination. I'm not laughing at y'all. I'm laughing at me because I'm like, I don't want to hallucinate. I want to understand. Listen, I want to understand the purpose for my life. I want to understand what the purpose is. Why was I born? I don't want to be all over the place. Are you listening to me? I tried the clubs. I couldn't do that. I was just too convicted. I'd walk in the club and just, oh, Jesus is coming. I'm going to hell. So I didn't know what that was about. And then my friends told me, no. Said, you don't know what you're doing, so let us take you. So first of all, we're going to have to take you and get you some clothes because these are church clothes. So I'm single at the time, and I've never gone to a club, and so this is an opportunity to go. And because, you know, we're saved. We don't go to clubs. Amen. But I want to go. And so they line up, and they give me some clothes and all. And then, you know, I'm wanting to meet some young ladies, you know. So they said, well, we'll show you how to do it. So we go into the club, it's loud and smoky and all that stuff. We get against the wall, and they said, just watch us. So we're leaning against the wall, girl come by and say, hey, mama. So the first guy takes off. Second guy said, you see that? I said, yeah. So he said, another young lady comes by, hey, mama. So they go off together. Now it's my time. I'm the only one against the wall. See, I got some club clothes, but I don't know what I'm doing. So when the young lady passed by, I said, hey, mama, she turned around. She said, mama, she said, are you that confused or do I look that much like your mother? That's my last day at a club. Just some things don't belong in our life. Do you hear what I said? Some things don't belong in your life. You got to get an export business now and start exporting what does not work in your life. Exporting. You are not born to serve anyone but the Creator. And the benefits of serving Him is tremendous. Peace is the first one that you'll find. You'll find peace. And we used to sing a song in the church, I've got peace like a river. Peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul, man. It's nothing like having peace. Nothing like having peace. I'm going to have to move. I'm not going to be able to preach this whole message today. But a couple of things I'm going to say, and then we're going to be out of here by 6 o'clock. I guarantee that. I heard that. Yeah, you'd be here by yourself. Yeah. Okay. Now, have you gotten any things? So here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. Remember now, we're celebrating 37 years of obedience, 37 years of faithfulness. The thing that hath been Ecclesiastes 3, verse 9, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the heavens. You should have been with me when I got that, when the Holy Ghost led me to this. I'm like, wow, this is deep. This is deep. Y'all want some deep stuff? Read the word. It's deep. Look what it says. The thing that hath been. The thing that hath been. Hath been. Past tense. Is that which shall be. Future. Well, God is saying, listen, y'all messing everything up because y'all trying to do new stuff that's old. You need to get a hold of this. Get my mind. And when you operate in my mind, you're operating futuristically. What you're doing now, though it's already been done, shall be. What does that mean? Somebody will benefit from my walk with God. So what I am right now, my children, my neighbors, somebody is going to be. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. Look at this now. He says, and that which is done shall be done. And so the finality of things. See, one of the things that we need in our lives is decisiveness. If you're not decisive, you're all over the place. If you can't make up your mind about something, and then when you make it up, then you unscramble everything that you've done. He said, you need decisiveness so that concreteness can come into your life. So you've made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus was a song we used to sing. But if that's your decision, follow him. Don't try to lead him. Follow him. One of the most popular things that have come on the scene today with prayer is that we are not following the prescription for prayer. We're telling the creator what he should do for the creature, rather than asking the creator, what about the creature? Do I need what I want? That's another day. That's another day. That's another day. Now look what he says. Look, is there anything whereof it may say, see, this is new? He says, nothing new. We just haven't seen it, so it's new to us. So what's new to me is not new. You follow what I'm saying? Some people are looking at me for the first time. They were not here. They were not part of the history. So I'm new to them, but I'm not new. You see what I'm saying? So it's relative. We cannot get relativity mixed up with reality. And so we have to come in. He says, watch this now. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath already of old time, which was before us. He said, one of the things that we're doing constantly is we're walking out of darkness into a marvelous light, but what we're leaving behind us, someone's following us, and that will be their experience for the first time. Ours, as we go ahead, will be our experience for the first time, and we're walking toward what it is that God called us to, what it is he made us to be. But someone is coming through your path. Okay, let me do this. I'm going to skip a whole lot of things to get to the bottom line. Cross culture, the lesson to be learned during this month of celebration is from Philippians 3:13. The lesson to be learned for this month of celebration is in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself as having apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I tried to develop this before I got to it to show you what he was saying about that. The thing that has been is history. The thing that has been is history. As much as we like to visit, as much as we like to go back, that's history. That's history. the thing that has been is the past. The past. I've been getting a revelation recently of people who can't forgive. And one of the revelations I got is for everyone that I couldn't forgive, they became a skeleton in me. In fact, my unforgiveness, y'all ever heard this term? Oh, what about so-and-so? Oh, they're dead to me? Well, they may be dead, but they're buried in you. I saw it, see? The past is the past. Jesus said, forgive for my sake, not yours. Forgive for Christ's sake. Because I forgave you, you forgive others. Oh, my God. One of the things that we have to do is learn that the past is the past. Come on, say it with me. The past is the past, and it has passed. It's gone. It's gone. No matter how wonderful I was 20 years ago, that's 51 years ago. It's gone. It's past. Can we build on certain things of the past? Yes, but we don't go back to it. If someone hurt you, here's what hinders our lives. Inner vows. What is an inner vow? It's when you get hurt, and this is an inner vow. I will never trust a man again. I will never trust a woman again. So you're saying, I cannot get married, because your inner vow keeps you from coming into contact with anybody who wants to be in your life. I made an inner vow. I was raised in New Mexico. Hispanics, Spanish-speaking people fought us every day on our way to school. My inner vow, I don't want anything that they have. I go to college. I could have made twice as much money if I could speak Spanish as I did just knowing English. But I made an inner vow, so I couldn't learn it. I couldn't get it. Can you repent of it? Yeah, if you get ahead of it. But I was too lazy to do the work. You understand what I'm saying? I could have gotten healed. God could have healed me, but I was too lazy to do the work. I reversed the vow, but never really approached the subject matter anymore. I'm talking to several of you in here. I feel you. You made inner vows. You can repent of them. You can back out of them. But if you don't, they'll govern the rest of your life. They'll be with you for the rest of your life. You don't say, because one person hurt you, I'll never trust a woman again. I'll never trust a man again. I don't want kids. And now you get married, your husband, and you guys talking about kids, but you can't have them because you've made an inner vow. He says, I don't count myself as having apprehended. I'm not there yet. And that's the thing. You keep growing. You keep growing. My younger son went to a special school or something to learn the Hebrew and the Greek. So when he teaches, he come across and break that down. And chikaka chikabo, break that down. I said, whoa, man, this stuff is deep. Huh? And chaka means chikabayo, and chikano, mukashamaya, jivos, and God said. But guess who's his student now? Guess who's his student? Guess who's sitting and having him go through some things? With 55 years of ministry, guess who's learning? See, you don't stop because you know everything, because the fact that you know everything means that you don't know anything, because everything cannot be learned. Pastor, you're going to have to come take it, sir. I love y'all. I appreciate you, but let me give you two more things. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and tell him, let's reach. Now, here's the acronym for REACH. Here's the acronym for REACH. Really putting forth, R, really putting forth, E, the effort to develop, A, changed heart. Really putting forth the effort to develop a changed heart. It's time for us to change. We change is a demand every day. And see, your pastor changed. We fought bitterly when we first met. It was a doctrinal issue, and we both stood the ground. And when we finished, we didn't fight physically, but when we finished, we said, "Now, where you want to eat?" Well, I was learning from him, but you have to defend what you think you know. And many of us are doing that. There are people in this audience right now that God wants to elevate on your job, but you're in such quagmire, you're in such discouragement, you're in such bitterness, and if you shed that, you'll go up. You'll go up like an elevator. I sense you, I feel you, and you will go up like an elevator. God will promote you. But it's not him holding you back. It's your unforgiveness. It's your thought life that's depressing. You need to be free. You need to let it go. Now, I'm going to go through these things with you, and then we're going to pray. These are the things that I believe that God showed me that the walkers have done for cross culture and for their personal lives. Number one, they've walked in the knowledge that everything has a purpose, and that those purposes that prosper are God-given and God-ordained. I believe that. They've walked in the knowledge that everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Put this verse down, 1 Chronicles 29:18. 1 Chronicles 29:18. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people. Lord, you've put thoughts in me. You've put purpose in me. What is it? Let me stir it up. What is it? What's in me that you want to do? What's in me that you want to say? What's in me that I'm supposed to bring forth? Number two, our existence in the earth realm is dictated by times and seasons. I believe the walkers have walked in this knowledge and stayed with God rather than moving out ahead of him. I believe they've sought the Lord. There are many times when you want to quit, to be honest with you. There are times you just want to say, okay, let me go do something else. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about pastors that I've talked to. But if you are sure that you and the Lord have worked it out, that there are times and seasons, there are times when things are going to be great, there are seasons when things are not going to be so great, but you're staying with it. You're staying with it. You're staying with it. You're staying with it. Right now is a really trying time just across the board. It's a really trying time, you know. It's a time of economic boost, but every time that happens, they raise the tax. So they take what you've been given. So, you know, we have to trust God for those things. So Acts 26:19, Paul is saying, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I believe that's why this ministry is blessed. I believe that you've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. You've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. And get a vision for your home. Write it. Write that vision for your home. Write that for yourself. If you're a single person, write the vision. Make it plain. So when you see it, you can run. You'll run with that vision. Don't just be purposeless. Don't be purposeless. Do. Just have them there. Number three, I believe the walkers have learned that God's timing is diverse. It's more different than our timing. They have learned to wait on the Lord and not move ahead of him. That's a good lesson we could all learn. You agree? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk. What does he say? When you're doing something in time, you won't get tired. When you're doing something in time, you will not get weary. When you're doing something in time, you cannot get discouraged. Timing is important. Timing. Say it with me. Timing is important. Say it again. In music, what's important? See, if they're playing one thing and I'm doing something else, it's not in sync. It's not in sync. So timing is everything. And so get the timing of God. Get the timing of God. Get the timing of God. Okay, number four. All that God does or will do is governed from the beginning. Everything that God, listen to me, people. Everything in God's economy is according to pattern. According to pattern. That's number five. The walkers have done, said, preached, and lived according to pattern. What God said, that's what they do. No more, no less. And it's important to do that. I'm going to close this morning with several words that the Lord gave me for this time, for this message. One word was rest. He talked about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is celebrated on the seventh day. But when Paul was writing about the Sabbath, he says, look, you enter into the Sabbath when you cease working. When you cease your working, trying to make things happen, trying to move things. See, Pastor, we didn't get caught up in the mega. We just let God send the people he wants. See, when you mega, you got to be mega advertising and mega leaving the presence of God to seek the crowd. You got to have something going on all the time. You understand what I'm saying? So the club atmosphere hit the church, and the only thing we didn't have was their music. But we had the kind of music that was not glorifying God. It was upbeat, and everybody was getting into it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And half the people up here wasn't in him. But we're going to go on. We'll talk about that some other time. But you know, that's why I love a ministry like this that's pure, man, and people can actually feel the presence of God while they're worshiping because it's not pumped up, you know. Hey, come on now. Come on now. Come on ahead. Move. Come on now. Move ahead. No. Nor is the offering time an auction. Who'll give 5, 5, 10, 10? Who'll give it 12 of us? Come on, help me. Is this a good place or not? Thank you. Thank you. No games. This man and his wife and his children want your well-being. They want you to prosper. They want you to... Are you listening to me? They're not in competition with you. Outgrow them. Outbe rich than they are. Do whatever. They just want your soul to be preserved until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Come on, give him praise right there. Glory to God. And so the Sabbath is that time of rest. Rest, put this in, if you're taking notes, put these three R's down. Sabbath, for Sabbath. Rest, revere, rehearse. Rest in the Lord. Cease from your own labor. Revere the Lord. Worship the Lord at home. Have a magnificence at home with him. Just glorify him and give him praise at home. And then rehearse everything that he's done for you. Rehearse everything that he's done. Go back over it. If you have a list, just every once in a while, pull it out and just begin to thank him. God, I thank you. What you're doing is not going, watch this now. Watch the difference between the world remembering and you is that if you go back to where you wrote it, it's as fresh now as when you wrote it because God's always present. He's always moving ahead. He's always going. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And here the words now for Sabbath. I want you to put these down. Put rest and put it in a way that you can put some words by it. I'm going to give you these three words. Rest, stand, and faith. Rest means releasing every strenuous thought. Releasing every strenuous thought, every straining thought, every worry, fear, all that stuff that gets in our heads and makes us. So releasing that, that's rest. That's rest. That's rest. Releasing every strenuous thought. Listen, people, this is what I have to do. Many years I've been doing this now, but not so much now. God has really given me the victory. I would lay down, and as soon as I put the pillow in a comfortable position, all the worry would just come in. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. One night I said, hey, I'm going to sleep. No. If I did not deal with you today, we're not going to do this now. No, we're not doing this now. No, I'm going to sleep. Are y'all listening to me? Now, I thought, at first my wife thought I had lost it, but then she's doing it now. You cannot carry all that mess to bed with you. We're not that friendly. You caused me a whole lot of problems today. I'm not going to meditate on you at night. And I want you to leave and leave now. Come on, y'all. I'm looking at some of you now there. You know why? Because you got to tell that thing. I'm in church. Shut up. Ain't nobody got time for that. Release every strenuous thought. Sabbath. Sabbath means stand assured by faith that barriers are tumbling down because of a healthy prayer and because you're the righteousness of God. S-A-B-B-A-T-H. Sabbath. Stand assured. What are we saying? Just stand in faith. That's just stand. That's the Sabbath. You're resting. You're resting from problems, resting from that. And then the last one is faith. Faithfully attending intensely to heaven's concerns. Faithfully attending intensely to heaven's concerns. Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet. Let's pray. Oh, as you're standing, I'm going to give you one more term. I'm going to read it for you, and then I'm going to give you this term. And then, if you didn't get it, get the tape or the CD or whatever, and then it'll be on there. Hebrews 4:10 says, he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. He ceased from his own works as God did his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Watch this, lest any man, there is humans, fall after the same example of unbelief. What is he saying? If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to get into a spirit of unbelief. And if you're not, you know what Paul constantly wrote, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh, don't walk in the Spirit. He said, if you walk in the flesh, then that's carnal. Carnality is walking in the flesh. And here's the term I want you to remember. If you do not deal with the walk of carnality, you will have what is called a carnality. It was in here somewhere. Father. Anyway, it's good when I get it. I know I done been up here too long. That's just like, I hear y'all. I feel y'all. It's like, when we going? Right now. Oh, thank you. Chronic carnality. You don't want that. Carnality. Father, we thank you. Musicians, if you don't mind, if you can come and just let's enter to a time of worship for this word. Let's let it soak in us and let it come to us, and happy celebration and anniversary and happy birthday to my sister. Let's just take a moment now and let this worship and let this soak. Just let it soak. Come on, begin to lift your voice. And if you find anything in your life worth thanking him for, start there. Just begin to give him glory. Begin to give him praise.